been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. Can we declare it the weekend yet? This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And we've got a party going on today on Wall Street. And I think we're going to credit Apple, Tim Cook at Apple, his guidance there, and a bigger-than-expected jobs report today, which used to be negative news, but now it's positive news. The Dow is up 431 points right now. That's a 1.3% gain, and that puts the Dow at 33,559. The S&P 500 is up a whopping 53 points right now. That's also a 1.3% gain. That puts it at 4,114. And the NASDAQ doing best of all. The NASDAQ helped along by Apple, obviously. Big component there in the NASDAQ. Last time I looked, Apple was up more than 4%. The NASDAQ up 170 right now to 12,136. Small caps are up 1.9%. It's risk on, baby. Today, crude oil is having a huge day. It's up $2.92 per barrel to $71.48. Gold, however, not liking it. It's down $46 to $2,009. And if we look at that 10-year, 3.45%, it's up 10 basis points. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our resident chartered financial analyst, and we'll begin.
How about that jobs report, huh?
That's where we're going to begin. Yeah. There's a couple of really big stories. I had a hard time deciding which is the biggest, but let's have you weigh in right now on the jobs report.
Yeah, I mean, you know, very strong report. I think the you know, unemployment rate was down to 3.4%. Just blew out the, I think 180,000 were expected. I think I don't got the exact number. I know it came in at 200, and I want to say it was 240,000 ish range. But you know, just a, really a blowout report on that standpoint. That kind of you know, as we've talked about, it's hard to have a deep recession, you know, whenever you've got, you know, unemployment, you know, as low as it is, and also job, I think job wage rates were up, I think it was up about 4.6%, which not great for inflation, which is probably why you see the, that the 10-year ticking up around 10 basis points this morning. But overall, where this might have been bad news, you know, a week, a month and a half ago, right? It's funny how this report is positive news for the market. Now we've kind of been in that capitulation zone, and now the good news is good news, I guess.
Yes, absolutely, because it looks like they're done hiking rates, and I mean, obviously, this is an inflationary kind of number that came out showing a still tight jobs market. But we continue to see inflation falling. So
crude oil, we see it up, you know, up above, back above 70 today, 71. So
that's why I say, you know, you've got to own a little crude oil in your back pocket. It's a hedge against inflation. It's a hedge against crises around the world. And it is volatile. But for the most part, it's badly needed across the world that drives the economy. Okay, we've had three bad days in a row in the market. It's mostly been, and here's my second biggest story of the day. This attack on the banking stocks has been just horrendous. Okay, one went down, Silicon Valley Bank, and it was because it was mismanaged. It doesn't look like there were other banks out there that had this big buildup of long-term treasuries, and they weren't out there on the edge with kind of kind of risky bets, I suppose. I mean, Silicon Valley Bank pretty much catered to the venture capital, private equity, et cetera, in the Silicon Valley. But the problem is you get a crisis like that, okay? And it seems like a lot of people, we don't know who, right now we'll just suspect the short sellers, attacking these banks. Okay, now what's wrong with that? Here's what someone tweeted me yesterday, which is unbelievable. I want to really reply to them in a nice way. I think I'll just let it pass for now. This knucklehead says, this communist says, I think we need to reset our thinking about money and how to use it judiciously. That's communism. Let them fail. Some lessons are better learned through pain and failure. Nothing is too big or too small to fail. Well, how about a country? How about a financial system? How about capitalism, you fool?
You can punish the the executives, the people who are making say bad banking decisions, but the depositor, right? I mean, you put your thing in, you can't expect every depositor to, hey, can I see the balance sheet real quick, like before I open my account?
Well, and here's right? the deal: the depositor doesn't even need to see the bank the balance sheet. That's all they need to see is their stock dropping. Think if you're a depositor and you've been a customer of Comerica for years and years and years, or Zion National Bank, or any of the other number of banks that are under attack right now. It's not just a few, it's the whole sector. The regional banking sector was down 6% yesterday. Why? Not because the banks are weak, because some short sellers, or whoever it may be, spreading false information on social media, scaring people, panicking people, and that's all they got to do is see their bank going down in price, and they're going to go get their money out of the bank, right?
Right, which is what we were saying is it doesn't necessarily mean, right, that it isn't necessarily a perfect indication that your deposit isn't safe. It means their equity is going down, right?
Exactly.
The value of the company, right?
And it could just be because of short sellers ganging up. And I saw somebody compare it. I said the same thing yesterday. This is the new GameStop, right? Okay, GameStop was it wasn't an attack on GameStop. Maybe we need the GameStop folks to come in and start buying up the regional banks. The GameStop actually was an attack on the short sellers.
They were putting it to the short sellers.
Yes,
right.
They were putting it to the short sellers who were clobbering GameStop, hoping for its demise. And here comes this wave of Reddit people with their money driving the stock, creating the greatest short squeeze I've ever seen in my lifetime in the market.
And put down some people. I mean, like, people who have been running money for years, like they were knocking on the door of other
brought
other
down
folks.
Some big short selling institutions, yes. And it put GameStop into the S&P 500. If it would have kept up, I guess GameStop would have been in the Dow eventually. But eventually, it always comes back to the fundamentals of the company, which are terrible. But the fundamentals, you can't tell me that all of a sudden the fundamentals in the regional banks have deteriorated. The only thing that is causing deterioration is people taking their money out of the banks because of the stock going down because of short selling. And, we're not getting anything really from the Fed on this situation. I think he totally understated it on Wednesday. Chairman Powell.
Yeah, as to not cause concern, but by acting that way, you almost cause more concern.
Yeah. Okay. Is there anybody at the wheel here? Are you asleep at the wheel? Where's Janet Yellen, our Treasury Secretary? Where's the head of the FDIC? Where's the SEC?
Where's the San Francisco Fed? I've heard, a lot of these banks are, almost an attack on anything that's under the purview of the San Francisco Fed, right?
Yeah, exactly. Now, the other thing that I would say here is there was a good article yesterday agreeing totally with what we're saying. It came out of Reuters saying that they are doing an investigation into the manipulation of bank prices. Well, you better hurry up because this thing is spreading.
Right.
And, you know, you could end up with five banks, all right? J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, Wells, which aren't, they've had their own issues over the years. So something's got to happen here. And it's all we got yesterday from the White House. Somebody asked the press secretary yesterday during the press conference, we're aware of it and we're monitoring it. Well, right. You know, yeah. Monitoring isn't doing something. And I think this is a much worse situation than people realize. Now, there are a lot of those that would want to reset our thinking about money and how to use it judiciously. This knucklehead that I would like to send him a picture of my father fighting in World War II on a submarine, damn it. That makes me mad when somebody says that. Let them fail. All right, well, we'll be right back. We got a great day going in the market, despite our hostility. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. There is one more little bit here on this bank route. U.S. federal and state officials are looking into whether market manipulation has prompted the recent volatility in bank shares, with the short sellers raking in nearly $380 million in paper profits yesterday alone. And I know it's up in the billions now, how much has been made off of shorting the banks. I agree with the White House on this. I can say this was in the press conference yesterday from Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre. I can say the administration is going to closely monitor the market development. And here's the part that I like, including the short selling pressure on healthy banks. You hear that? Short selling pressure on healthy banks. I blame the CEO and the leadership at Silicon Valley and maybe a few others. But this attack on the whole regional banking sector, I just saw our senator Tim Scott saying he wants accountability from the CEOs on mismanaging the banks. I don't agree with Tim Scott. This is an attack on our banks. Through stock manipulation, through trying to drive these stocks down through short selling. It's an attack. Meanwhile, billionaire activist investors like Bill Ackman and Nelson Peltz are warning that more regional banks will fail unless deposit rules change. I'm not so sure that's the issue either, Barry, that they're worried about the insurance, right, on just $250,000. I think it's the short sellers.
Well, and it's time. Yeah, I agree. And time, I mean, really fixes these balance sheets, you know, most of them, right? I mean, it's one thing, and that's the difference, too, is you got to think of in terms of, you know, what was the reason for the 08-09 crisis, right? Those were, you know, that was bad. You know,
that was bad lending.
Bad mortgaging. That was a credit issue, right? That poor credit quality. In this case, it's really, you know, really interest rate risk, right? As interest rates begin to tick down, those balance sheets are going to, you know, they're going to get a tailwind, right?
Exactly.
And so there's, you know, it's really a time issue. And as you say, when you're picking on, you know, you're picking on these banks, and you got to remember what, you know, what options and shorting was made for initially, right? It was made as a risk management tool, right? It's okay, you know. Nowadays, of course, we've got the gamification of you know, the market in general. So, you know, shorting a stock is almost seen as just like buying a stock, right? You want it to go the other direction. In the past, that would have just been a risk management tool versus a, you know, now it's almost quote unquote an investment, right? That they're, you know, basically invested in a company going
down. It's like putting money on the don't pass line on the dice table, right?
Yeah.
Now, it's one thing to do it with GameStop and Bed Bath and Beyond and horribly managed companies. But to attack the financial system of a country, this underlies our economy. So I have a problem with that, and they need to do something about it. Okay, now, Apple, bang, there's capitalism for you. Big, big earnings from Apple. I don't hear anybody complaining about Apple making too much money today and letting, you know, Apple fail, this and that. I mean, they're all looking at their iPhones right now, watching the banks go down. Well, Apple had blowout earnings. Not blowout. I wouldn't call it blowout. It was better than expected.
Expected, right.
You know, when all is said and done, their earnings are flat year over year. They made $1.52 a year ago. They made $1.52 this year. And their sales were actually down 3%. But I guess the guidance and the iPhone sales were all better than expected. Apple's up 4.4% today on four times normal volume. I have some issues. We own Apple. It's our biggest position, or one of our top five positions. You know, it's not a cheap stock. I mean, to buy it at this level, it would be, you know, it's expensive. It's pricey.
It's been much cheaper. Yeah,
it's been
right.
much cheaper. I mean, it was 124 earlier this year. That's when the time to buy it was. I think that's kind of when we got back into it. Now it's $173 per share. You know, it's a single-digit grower. I hate to tell you this, even though it's popular. And that's what really saves its bacon, is because it has such a strong following. It's like Tesla. It's like other stocks that have strong cult followings, Chipotle.
And size. I mean, you know, the amount, and this is why, you know,
2.7 trillion. Yeah,
from a safety standpoint, that's why, you know, you look at something like, you know, big tech is kind of, at least over the last few years, kind of seems to have, you know, been that safe haven. I mean, you take, break apart Apple's revenues. I mean, their services business, right, which is 22% of their revenues, it earned over $20 billion in, you know, in revenue. I mean, how many
Where's Elizabeth
how many companies,
Warren complaining
how many companies,
about that?
Yeah,
huh?
How many companies earned $20 billion in revenue?
How
right?
much did
and that's
Tim Cook make last
their
year?
Their services revenue, right? Not as much as the Google CEO, I don't think, when you told me it was what his compensation was.
If this was an oil stock, they'd all be yelling about windfall. Right. Let's put a windfall profit tax on Apple. What is their profit margin? You can look that up while I'm talking about the next stock.
Yeah, I'll do
if
it.
If the average S&P 500 stock's profit margin is about 11%, I want to know what Apple's profit margin is. Should we step in and, you know,
ask them to share some? Yeah, can you share some of the money with us, please?
Share it with Samsung and all the rest. Okay, anyways, Apple's iPhone results are seen as impressive by Wall Street. So, okay, impressive. That's the word. Now, here's the other kind of stock that yesterday, all of a sudden, I looked at AMD, which, you know, was down on Wednesday about 9-10%, and I said, why is AMD up 11%? This was yesterday. What in the world is going on? I thought maybe, you know, there was a big upgrade to it, but no. There was a story out that AMD, Microsoft, has approached AMD about making chips, which NVIDIA is the chip maker for AI. And you've seen what NVIDIA has done on that news. The story yesterday was that AMD was going to step in and help make chips for AI. Now, today the story is being denied, Barry. And you're going to have to get it straight here, because I know you're working on a,
yeah,
a little
love how
update.
This, I love how all the new information comes in. Yeah, right. In the middle.
But but AMD is up another 1% here today after being it closed up about 8 or 9% yesterday. AMD got down to almost $80 per share. I want to say, yeah, about in there.
Yeah,
81.
Closed around 81, yeah.
Now it's all of a sudden it's back to 87, and it's got a bunch of momentum and volume coming into it as, you know, the AI rumor is out there, and even though there's a lot of denial. Now here's some more good news. Charles Schwab outflows continue to abate. That's good. Okay, because the financial sector, let's not forget, you go shorting like four or five banks. This is spread to Schwab. It's spread to J.P. Morgan. It's spread to the brokerage firms, the financials, the Apollos, the BlackRocks. It's just crushing our financial sector. That's why I think you got to You got to put some kind of a limit or stop to this short selling. Okay, when we come back, there's a lot of stocks in the news today. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we had a much better than expected jobs report. The monthly non-farm payrolls report came in much better than expected. And we had, I didn't think the earnings report from Apple was that good, but Apple is just exploding to the upside right now.
Well, it's about expectations, right? I mean, they AMD obviously went down after their earnings, but even though they've brought it back based on that Microsoft news yesterday, whether it's right or wrong. But the company guided, right? I think they beat by at least 12 cents on the earnings per share side. So from an expectation standpoint, right, whether and of course Tim Cook sets those expectations, they did better than they expected. So
yeah, and for the record, we bought Apple. We were very negative on tech stocks last year. We got out of them. We bought Apple. I think it was our first tech buy, as we could see
in
beyond
Ultra Growth,
the.
I think is where you grabbed it.
Beginning. Yeah, and the Ultra Growth on January the 4th of this year at 126.58. And right now it's hitting almost 174, so it's up 37% since we bought it. And then we added it a little bit later on, maybe a month later or so, to our premier growth portfolio because we felt comfortable enough. That's a little bit more conservative of portfolio. But, the tech stocks have led the way here. You got the NASDAQ up 200 right now. The Dow's up 437. Okay, now listen to this next story. Oh, the things you hear on Best Stocks Now show. How about a major drug stock that it went down a little bit this week, not because their products aren't working. It's because they have a product that is so much in demand, they can't meet the demand. What? Well, yes, Wegovy is a drug. Novo Nordisk NVO is the maker of the drug. The company reported earnings, I believe it was yesterday or Wednesday, and they missed the expectations for their sales. Well, it's one thing to miss expectations on sales because people are starting to not buy your product anymore. But the weight loss drug, which came in below expectations, is because they have to limit who gets what because of the demand. Novo Nordisk is reducing the supply of some doses of Wegovy in the U.S., due to high demand. In their Q1's earnings release, they noted that to safeguard continuity of care, the supply of the lower Wegovy dose strengths in the U.S. will be reduced temporarily. So doctors are prescribing this drug like crazy.
Right.
And Novo Nordisk is caught off guard by the demand, but they're going to, it's a good problem because eventually, they're going to catch up with the demand.
It's economics, right? Supply will meet demand at some point.
Yep. And they have hired a second manufacturer for Wegovy. So NVO, which is a $367 billion company, huge company out of Denmark.
It's been a great find, yeah.
It's been a great stock over the years because they're the king of diabetes. Just look at a chart of it over the last 20 years. It's sensational.
Yeah, diabetes and obesity together, which obviously
epidemic.
A lot of those things go hand in hand, and a lot of them go hand in hand, right?
Yes, I mean, so. Unfortunately. So NVO is up 1.2% today. That's another one of our big holdings here because we own it in both the growth, premier large cap growth, and in the dividend portfolio because it pays a dividend. Now, here's the little biotech of the day. Oh, you're not going to hear this on Jim Cramer's show today, I doubt. Maybe you will. I don't know. This one's up 125%. We have no position in it, but I always like to bring up something that is up this much. NBTX, Nanobiotech. According to this, they are selling a lead cancer drug candidate, NBTXR3, to a global pharmaceutical company. Yep. That's all the it's a very thinly traded stock until today.
Which is that production part, right? They sell that instead of, you know, these biotechs nowadays, they almost, that's kind of a growth engine for your big pharma. They buy this drug at a, you know, probably an elevated price, but they've already got the whole, you know, they've got the whole, you know, sales system set up. They've got the distribution, and then they can ramp up the production.
So. I would say of all the sectors in the market this year, I've seen more big winners and just top performing stocks, momentum stocks in the biotech than any other sector. Now that leads me to my next point. In the newsletter every week now, I print those 100 and 120, whatever it is, A-plus momentum stocks. And that's where you're going to find a lot of these small stocks getting unusual activity or whatever. Just be in the action of the stock, okay, in the momentum of it. And furthermore, you know, we featured a stock in the newsletter last week. One of our it was our top ideas right now. We're going to have a new one this week, and I've got about three or four to choose from. One I'm really excited about. It's like a $5 stock right now. I've got plenty of them to choose from, but I'm going to decide on one, and it will go out in the newsletter tomorrow, late afternoon. To get that, go to our website. The website has not been updated yet. I can't believe how slow web designers and software, how slowly they work. They're so bureaucratic, you know, they got to go through this and that. Just get it done. Anyways, it is, if you go to the newsletter, the 2-free-week trial of the newsletter, you will get it will be in the feature article. That's going to be the feature article until further notice. Our top idea for the week. And last week, I won't disclose it, but it was a what we think can be a massive turnaround play that has the potential to be a massive turnaround play, we hope, from a very good turnaround artist. And this week, who knows? I mean, I guarantee two or three of the five that I'm considering you've probably never heard of before. Okay, here's some earnings coming in. AMC Entertainment, which is another manipulated stock. They have been losing money for, I don't know, 10 straight years. They barely got through COVID. Barely. I think they've reverse split the stock a few times. But they did beat earnings. The stock is up 1.44%. Let the short sellers go after that one. I mean, leave the regional banks alone. If you're doing that, you're trying to bring down the economy of the U.S. You're trying to bring down the financial system of the U.S. And all these people that work hard and put their money in the bank and save and whatnot, something's got to be done. Okay, I've said enough about that.
Pick on something else. Pick on
GameStop. Go pick on a popcorn seller.
Yeah, pick on GameStop or Bed Bath & Beyond.
Okay, Booking has
Kohl's,
reported.
What's Kohl's doing?
Oh, man.
Talk to Kohl's.
Kohl's is the only business they got is Amazon returns. Come in and return your. And while you're here, we hope you'll buy some chocolates or something.
They better put that counter in the back.
People are still traveling. Booking is flat on the day, but this is one of the great stocks of all time. It's the former Priceline.com. it just shows you that, you know, the consumer is still traveling, vacationing, cruising,
and they got jobs. And we know they've got jobs because we just got the jobs report.
There's no lack of jobs out there. And guess what else they're doing? DraftKings is up 17%.
Because we got your Kentucky Derby picks on the, and we got
tomorrow's the Kentucky Derby.
So we got your Derby picks for the last half, the last quarter of the show, right?
I got to get that. It'll be in the news. No, I like Forte. Yeah. I hate the. I'm not a guy that likes favorites, but I have a long shot. I'll have the long shot in the final segment of the show.
Right. I think DraftKings, they've been
50 to 1.
Yeah, they've been, I mean, they've been blowing out for
well,
like you said. From
and let's not forget Churchill Downs itself, which is in the same business, really, except they've got racetracks. Churchill Downs has just exploded to the upside. Their earnings, this is a very, very well-run franchise. They don't just own Churchill Downs. They're involved in horse racing, casino gambling, entertainment, and simulcast feeds of horse races. Well, the Run for the Roses, it's the first Saturday in May. When we come back, what's moving in the market and who could be moving in the stretch tomorrow at the Derby? We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's The Best Stocks Now show. What won't the Derby have tomorrow? Bob Baffert, who is still not allowed to run horses in the Derby. Instead, his former assistant, Tim Yakteen, basically was training his horses.
And this is his last, I think this is his last suspension, because I think he can be what? He can be at the Belmont.
Maybe he'll be
year.
Back
I think he can
by
be at the other
next
two,
year.
Yeah. Yeah,
but his two horses are there, Reincarnate 50 to 1. Practical Move 10 to 1 being trained by Yakteen. My long shot, Lord Miles, has been scratched because the trainer has been suspended. Two of his horses died in workouts at Kentucky. Not good. So I still like, I mean, my long shot to run second is Confidence Game. That's Ken DeSormo's, Kent DeSormo's brother is the trainer. He's a nice guy. Keith DeSormo, they won a big race in Arkansas. I watched that race. So I like Forte and Confidence Game. We'll report back Monday, okay? Now, let's see what's moving in the market. I want to go to the NASDAQ first. The NASDAQ, which is made up of 100 different stocks, the biggest winner in the NASDAQ, Expedia. Well, there you go, that travel. Is still a hot ticket. It's up 7.2%. Apple is up 4.7%. $2.7 trillion. Imagine Steve Jobs. oh, my gosh. $2.7 trillion. Remember when they were counted down and out and it was a dollar a share?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, right at a dollar, under a dollar almost, remember?
And they brought in a CEO from Pepsi or McDonald's or one of those, and then pretty soon they brought back Jobs after about a year or two. $2.7 trillion. Tesla, the third biggest winner in the NASDAQ, up 4.1%. Monster Energy, which has just been hitting new highs recently, is up 4.0% today. NVIDIA, up 3.2%. Not much really down. Let's see if there's anything. No, there's nothing. Meta is down 1%. So you've got a very strong NASDAQ today. Looking at the S&P 500, this is good news. The biggest winner in the S&P 500 is Zion, Z-I-O-N Bank Corp, 16.7%. This has been one of the ones under attack by the short sellers. Now, here's the thing, another little piece of bit of information about short selling. If there's any good news that comes out at all, I mean, if the White House were even to say, hey, we're coming after the short sellers. They scramble.
You're going to get a pop, yeah.
And it's like turning the lights on and the cockroaches scattering, right? So Zion is up. I'm sure the fundamentals at Zion haven't improved by 16% today, which is just proof that it's being manipulated. Comerica is up 13.3%. It's been under heavy attack. KeyCorp is up 8%. Truist Financial is up 7.6%.
Which is the old SunTrust, by the way. I mean, you know,
that was a huge Southeast Bank.
Yeah,
huge.
I mean, they changed the name, but they're everywhere. I mean, especially here in the Southeast. I think, Truist Park, I think, is the Braves stadium. So.
Yeah, that stock has just been under siege. Okay, what else? Let's see. AIG, insurance stock, Fortinet is up 5.8%. That's another one we own. Carnival's up 5.6%. And even that First Horizon, which has been really kind of the battleground stock, PacWest and the other one, WAL, are the three really under heavy fire. First Horizon's up 4.7%. Now, if we look to the downside of the S&P 500, Bio-Rad, a stock we used to own, I'm glad we got out. We had a pretty tight sell stop in on it. It's down 17.7% today. Monolithic Power, that is a chip stock, down 11.5%. And then really nothing else really doing too badly. Then if we look over at the Dow, which is soaring today, the Dow is soaring. Why? Apple is up 4.8%. And even a financial like American Express has been under siege recently. That attack on those few banks has spread clear out to MasterCard, Visa, Schwab, Goldman Sachs.
Anything that involves your money. Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's not good. Chevron is up 2.4. Oil stocks are having a big day today. Energy. Exxon's up 2.3%. Salesforce is up 2.2%. On the downside in the Dow, you know, really nothing. Intel's down 1%. That is the worst one. Okay, well, you know what? Boy, after today, I can't wait. I mean, I'm looking forward to doing the newsletter later this afternoon. Because we're going to have fresh numbers out. Last Friday we had 50% of the companies in, and I said at that point in time this was the best earnings season I've seen in recent years. Well, this past week we'll see what it did to the overall numbers, what it does to the future numbers. There's the key. And then, of course, you know, we may have the Fed out of the way so that multiple that we multiply those earnings by is pretty much stabilized in here right now. So we'll have a fresh target price out for you on the S&P 500 and one of our best ideas now. I will do a short write-up on it in the newsletter that will go to anybody who gets the newsletter this week. Go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to talk to us about money management, the five portfolios that I manage, Barry's the guy you talk to, mix or match, you know, and depending on your situation, he's a certified financial planner. You can call us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. We have a great team here at Gunderson Capital Management. And, you know, service is a big thing here. We like to give people good service. We respond immediately if we hear from anybody. You can call us at 855-611-BEST. Well, we'll see what happens over the weekend, but we're certainly finishing up here on a high note in the market after three really sour days because of this attack and this short selling on about four or five different regional banks, including some big major regional banks. All right, 855-611-BEST or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.